The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Good morning, everyone. 5 minutes past nine on this Wednesday, the 14th of June, 2023. Good morning to you. How are you all keeping? I hope you're doing very well indeed. And it's great to be with you for another 3 hours here on the 9 till noon show. And as always, we want your involvement. 08660 25000, the lines for WhatsApps and texts are now open. You can give us a call too on 07491 25000 or send your emails in to comments@highlandradio.com. We'll be opening the lines for our fantastic daily competition, which is running all this week. We have another €100 one for all voucher, which is almost like cash because you can spend it anywhere. That's coming up a little later on. We have a very interesting and informative, I hope, Wellness Wednesday as well, and so much more besides. If you want to email, did I mention that? comments@highlandradio.com. All the papers today have pictures of Christy Dignam, who passed away yesterday after a long and brave battle with a rare cancer, and rightly so. I'll get to that story as the morning progresses, of course, and we might even play an Aslan song a little later on. But we'll start with the locals who focus on local matters. And the Inishowen Independent up first. And there is growing evidence to support a surge in the use of Class A drug cocaine across Inishowen. Several people have appeared before the most recent sitting of Buncrana District Court, charged with a range of offences related to cocaine, from possession of the banned substance to drug driving. Cocaine has now replaced cannabis as the drug of choice here for all ages, with its use said to be most prevalent among the younger generation. Gardaí continue to crack down on the drug and its users, with more cocaine cases now appearing before our courts than any other controlled substance. Defendants charged with cocaine offences at Buncrana District Court last Thursday ranged in age from 19 years old to 49 years old. Meanwhile, an Inishowen man has been granted anonymity due to the serious nature of the drugs charges against him in Derry and the risk attached to such defendants in the city. So that's another indication as to where we're going with that awful drug. It is a scourge. We talk about it regularly on this program. And again, if it's something you want to talk about today, you know the numbers, get in touch with us. The Finn Valley Voice this morning: a Ballybuffet mother of four with terminal cancer is desperate to make memories with her family and for them. Leanne Brown, who was diagnosed with cancer for the second time in 2021, has set up a GoFundMe page to raise money to take her family to Florida. And there's been a huge public reaction to that appeal and campaign, it seems. On to the Inish Times this morning. Inishowen's three fire stations will be closed over the coming days as part of an industrial dispute involving retained firefighters. Strike action by Donegal County Council fire service personnel at Buncrana Fire Station on Tuesday is to be followed by action by colleagues in Carrindonna today and in Melville on Thursday. Buncrana Fire Station will be closed again on Friday and next Monday, with Carrindonna closed on Saturday. The action will affect Melville again on Sunday. Around 140 members of the retained fire service in the county are joining colleagues across the country as part of the dispute between the trade union SIPDU and the government and local authorities. And I saw the firefighters outside the council offices in Letterkenny, and they seem to be getting a great deal of support from the general public in their action. The Donegal Post this morning: a number of concerns have been raised about plans by Quiltshire and the National Parks and Wildlife Service to carry out forestry removal at Merva. While people are not opposed to dune conservation, it's the particular approach that's raised a lot of questions. The plan will see the removal of trees stretching back 100 metres from the beach road. It will end a short distance before the main car park. The idea is that by removing the old plantation conifers, the natural sand dune habitat would regenerate. Previously, it had been unclear how much of an area would actually be included. At a public meeting on site on Tuesday, a map that was circulated left people feeling troubled and shocked at the scale of the tree removal. Heather Dick from Quiltshire outlined the project, explaining why tree removal was crucial to dune regeneration. As I say, though, those trees are quite some distance from the dunes themselves, but I presume so. They have experts that understand why that would be a good idea. On to the Irish Times now, and there is a picture of Christy Dignam, born May 23rd, 1960. He passed away yesterday, June 13th, 2023. And there's a picture of him from 1988, looking for all the world a pop star, which of course is what he was, a rock star. Christy Dignam, the longtime singer with Finglas-based rock outfit Aslan, died yesterday in Dublin after a long illness. He was just 63. Dignam's death brings to an end one of the most eventful and compelling careers in Irish rock. He was born to sing. His CIE boss upholsterer father, Christopher Dignam Sr., loved the opera singers Enrico Caruso and John McCormack. By the time he entered his teens in 1973, Dignam had been struck by the twin musical forces of the Beatles and David Bowie. There was no going back for him, and after an early attempt at breaking into the music industry in 1980 with a band called Mila X53, which featured his close friend Joe Jewell, he surfaced 2 years later with Aslan, and of course the rest is history. And they were so busy. They toured around the country. They were up here very regularly. I've seen them myself on a number of occasions, and I talked about it in the past. One particular gig in Bundoran that they were booked for, and the way it worked out is it wasn't incredibly well advertised, and there was a lot going on anyway, so it wasn't well attended, and I think a lot of people simply just did not know it was going to happen. But the show in front of a small group of people, it started off in front of effectively staff, and as the show went on, it filled up. And this was, they were always popular. They were popular. People just simply didn't know they were playing. And he put in, and the rest of the band put in a show as if they were in front of 5,000 people. It was really quite remarkable. It was an intimate gig in every sense of the world. Have you any memories or maybe something happened in your life that is linked to the music of Aslan that you want to share with us? Let us know. 086 60 25,000, 086 60 25,000, or call us on 074 91 25,000. Back to politics in the Irish Independent. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar is under pressure to hike the state pension by €20 per week in a list of budget demands from TDs and senators. Cuts to inheritance tax, a dedicated energy minister, and expanding the Help to Buy scheme to second-hand homes will be among the other asks at this evening's special budgetary meeting. Calls from some Fine Gael politicians for a €1,000 tax cut in budget 2024 have already sparked a row with coalition partners Fianna Fáil. So again, this is about the squeezed middle. I think when they talk about that €1,000 that you would have back in your pocket per year, but you have to be on quite high money for that to be delivered. Again, I'll ask, do you want that kind of a tax break? Would that make a difference to you? Or would you like to see, because that's what wins elections, right? Because it puts money straight back in people's pockets, and then we go, because we're just the way we are, we go, yay, okay, I'll vote for you. But would you not prefer to see, or would you prefer to see, sorry, that money invested in services? So a more firm commitment to improving supports for children that need assistance, for an example, for carers, for more targeted approach to the health service, or a rail line into Donegal, or maybe a more firm date on the 10T project. You know, would you prefer to see those type of announcements, which wouldn't probably win an election, maybe, I don't know, or do you want them to push ahead with putting €1,000, if you earn quite high money, back into your pocket? 086 60 25,000. Well, there's mounting pressure for a significant increase in the weekly pension after former Fianna Fáil ministers called for hikes as high as €20. Green Party TD Nessa Horgan went further, saying it should go up by €25. Fine Gael Senators Garrett Ahern and Tim Lombard are among those who will be calling for a €20 increase after the government last year hiked the pension by €12 per week. Again, are those things that you'd be in favour of? Are they vote winners for you? The Daily Mail tells us that the lofty notion of bestowing titles on the great and the good will be discussed today as a bill on the introduction of an Irish honours system comes before the Seanad. But Taoiseach Leo Varadkar said there is a significant degree of unease about the bill. It could see household names such as Bono, Liam Neeson or Katie Taylor nominated for the honour. But while the government does not plan to oppose the bill at this stage, a spokesperson said this does not mean it accepts the proposed legislation. So would you like to see a Sir Liam Neeson or a Sir Bono, whatever he might be called, or a Dame Katie Taylor Do you think we need that? I think there's already enough hierarchy in this country, you know, between the haves and the have-nots, and those that are know the right people and those that don't, right throughout society. Do we need another level of difference between us where you have a group of individuals that go around being referred to as sir this or sir that? Maybe we do. What do you think? 086 60 25,000. Well, under the bill, the honour would be known as Gradam Anuktharan and would recognise the exceptional achievements of citizens and the outstanding contributions of others. It would allow recipients to be referred to with a suffix of GU at the end of their name. So you wouldn't be a Sir Bono, you'd be a Bono GU. What do you think? Greg Hughes, GU. Caroline Orr, GU. It's got a ring to it, though we would never say it. It would be Dublin-centric politicians and people in showbiz, but anyway. Bizarre story you might have seen on the news last night. It's in the Irish Daily Star today. Gardaí believe a hunter mistook a man in a wetsuit as an animal when he accidentally shot him at a golf club. The incident happened at around 11 p.m. at Coors Town Golf Club in the townland of Kinsallaghan in North Dublin on Monday night. The victim in his 40s was hit once in the upper body as Gardaí from the Armed Support Unit raced to the scene in pursuit of a gunman, only to arrive and find that it appeared to be completely accidental. Now, I don't know what. Did he think it was a seal up on its hind legs? They don't have hind legs sitting up on its tail. Investigators believe that a number of men were hunting near the golf club at the time. Another group were out on the course in wetsuits looking for lost golf balls. What an accidental clash of activities there. Men in wetsuits looking for golf balls, others out shooting. The shooters thought the other fella was again, I'm struggling to think what animal they might have thought he was. The Irish Sun this morning. Huge advances in breast cancer treatment mean 95% of patients will survive for at least 5 years. Research found the risk of dying in women who catch the disease early has fallen by two-thirds in the past 20 years. Scientists at Oxford University tracked more than 500,000 women from 1993 to 2020 to see how life expectancy has changed. So it is a remarkable figure, 95% surviving past 5 years. You know the way they use that five-year marker. It doesn't mean it's 5 years only. It goes beyond that. So again, you know, really important not to put off getting checks done or checking yourself, because if you spot something early, it's incredibly treatable, according to those latest statistics. And finally, the Beatles are releasing a new track. How could they do that? Well, Paul McCartney says a new Beatles record out later this year was made possible with the use of artificial intelligence. The 80-year-old said the technology extracted John Lennon's voice from an old demo to create what he said will be the band's final release. He said AI was used by producer Pete Jackson in the making of the 2021 documentary The Beatles Get Back. He added he was able to extract John's voice from a ropey little bit of cassette. He could separate them with AI. He'd tell his machine, that's a voice, this is a guitar, lose the guitar. So when we came to make what will be the last Beatles record, it was a demo John had that we had worked on. And there you go, they were able to clear it up, clean it up, put it together, and it'll be out. It'll be interesting to see how that sounds. Okie doke, that's a run through what is making the papers inside and out this morning. On to the programme, we welcome Catherine. Hi, Catherine, good to chat to you.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
I'm good, Catherine. Right, you are a wheelchair user, and we're going to talk about toilet facilities for people who use a wheelchair. What's your experience?
So I heard your discussion about the facilities the other day. Mm-hmm. And I suppose I just wanted to highlight the lack of facilities and accessible toilet facilities in the country. There's a serious lack of them just in general around, but also, you know, a lot of them that are there aren't fit for purpose. They're too small, or they're sort of out of date. They need an overhaul.
Yeah, I realise that.
They really need to be brought up to date.
Yeah, for sure. And I realised that year myself last year when a relation of mine was visiting who's a wheelchair user. And I walked past toilets in shops and pubs or what have you, and I saw the symbol. I thought, all right, that's great. They've got wheelchair accessible toilets. But then I saw him trying to get in to use them. And it was just, no, there was no space. It was, I mean, it was there, but it was unusable. And this was a small chair. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Because it's a young person.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I have a standard size chair. It's not big. But very often I can get in the door, but I can't actually turn around and close the door.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was witnessing.
I can't actually navigate the space when I'm in there, I suppose. And then for other people, they need assistance when they are there, so there wouldn't be a hope of getting two people in.
Mm.
I suppose the gold standard would be the change of places facilities. They are coming across the country, but they're quite slow to come on at the moment. We do have funding secure for one in Letterkenny. It's going to be at the retail park. I think work is due to begin on that soon, thanks to Jimmy Kavanagh and the council as well. But that would be the gold standard, I suppose.
And that would be Catherine, with the change of spaces ones, there would be a hoist there as well, presumably as well. They would be a space that would be accommodating for lots of people.
Yeah, I mean, they're fantastic. They have adults changing spaces and everything in them.
Mm.
And I was in Nairn recently, just the other day, actually, and they have one there at the beach. It's fantastic.
Did you post that on social media, Catherine?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, I saw it, yes. It was that you were able to access the beach, and I hadn't seen it in action, actually, so that was really helpful to see that. And that's, we need more of that, don't we? I mean, it's fantastic, and some amazing work and fundraising and campaigning and what have you went into that, but we need more of that, don't we?
Oh, that was just great. I mean, that's all thanks to a local couple, Paul and Julie McDade.
Mm.
They worked really hard to secure the funding for that. So that everybody can enjoy it. And it's not even just exclusive for wheelchair users. It's open to anybody for whatever reason that can't access the beach otherwise. And they actually have two wheelchairs there. They have a power chair and the manual chair as well.
Yeah,
so
fantastic.
It must be one of the most accessible beaches in Ireland.
Yeah, exactly. But it shouldn't be. And I remember having the conversation with them at the time that we shouldn't be at a point whereby such a facility is a big news story, that it's, you know, it's amazing that this is available. It should be normalised, really, shouldn't it? That it's just, it's more, we should be highlighting beaches that don't have it.
Exactly. And the demand is obviously there for it, because they told me since its launch, it's actually been booked out every day.
Wow, brilliant.
So that's amazing, yeah.
I've spoken to people in the past too, in terms of facilities that are available for wheelchair users, that often, you know, maybe even wheelchair accessible toilets end up being used as storerooms. Do you ever find that?
Often actually one of the most common things is that they also double up as baby changer units.
Right.
So sometimes you'll go into a bathroom and, you know, you need to clear the space first. So you have to take bins out. Coat stands could be in there. There could be a changing unit. And sometimes they're not left in a very desirable state. So you might just have to turn around and not use that space. Yeah. I suppose if people sort of ask people to sort of respect the space and just realise that there's somebody coming behind you.
So in terms of public facilities and private facilities, are the problems with both, and are those the type of the problems that we've been talking about so far in terms of them doubling up as baby changing facilities, or they're just simply too small to accommodate someone to be able to, if they can, use them independently?
Yeah, definitely with private spaces also. I mean, we've seen so many businesses that post-COVID and they've done renovations and, you know, they spent a lot of money on premises, but it's so disappointing to see that they don't invest in that.
Mm.
You know, those spaces, they're just too small, I suppose.
Yeah. And do you find then, obviously, presumably, you know where the good spots are, where the bad spots are, where to go, where to avoid. You have your own sort of almost virtual map in your head of, but that's fine. But if you're invited out somewhere, for an example, and you know you've been there in the past and they don't have good facilities, like it leaves you in a bit of a position. Do you recuse yourself, or, you know, what do you do?
It can be really awkward. I mean, I suppose, you know, sometimes you just have to miss things. Mm. Just the space isn't suitable and that's it, you can't go. But I suppose most of any of my family or friends know where I can go, and we organise around that.
Yeah.
But as you say, you just sort of have a hit list of places.
Yes, the do's and the do's and the don'ts, yeah.
The do's and the don'ts.
Yeah, and of course, too, you talked about how things changed around about COVID, and that was a lot of maybe chairs and tables being put out onto footpaths and things like that there. Is that I know that's not what we asked you on to talk about, Catherine, but is that still an issue?
Yeah, actually, COVID opened up a lot of things for people with disabilities,
right,
because I was definitely able to access places, you know, business services or go that I couldn't have otherwise gone because they have outdoor seating and outdoor spaces. And I think there was definitely a lot of awareness raised at that time as well because especially when people were within their 5K or whatever, they realised that there were spaces that they couldn't go to or they were going and businesses were closed. They didn't have any access to facilities. So I think they definitely empathised with people with disabilities at that stage. I suppose it's like everything. Everything opened up and people sort of moved on. And I guess our spaces are so few and far between. Like, Greg, you could, if there's a public facility that's not any good, you could go down the street and find somewhere else.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of the time we don't have that option.
Yeah, and it does feel sometimes a little bit, and as I say, my eyes were opened recently. It kind of is a box-ticking exercise. It looks on the face of it that things are being done and people are being accommodated, but when you actually go to use it often, it's simply not the case. What was it like being able to get out onto the beach again, Catherine? That must have been a wonderful feeling for you.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Something
yeah, it was
we
great.
Often take for granted. I think most of us might take for granted. But
totally,
for you,
yeah. And I love being outdoors. Like I love, and we do all the forest walks and the boardwalks and anywhere we can access, we go to. But I suppose there's nothing like being on the beach.
Yeah.
And it was a bit strange at first because all my instincts tell me to stay away from sand.
Yes, yes.
You know, when you use a chair, that's your biggest fear is getting stuck somewhere. So I was kind of a bit tentative there. But it's fantastic. It just powers through the sand and you can go for miles. Yeah, it was great. I'll definitely be using it again.
Right. Catherine, I wonder how do we change things, if you know what I mean? Because it's always good to highlight things and have conversations and to make people aware. But also, like, we need a hope now, say, for instance, new buildings. Planning regulations insist that such facilities are of a modern standard. You know, I hope that's happening, Catherine. Whatever about renovating.
Like to think and, so, yeah. At the minute, the law just states that you have to be able to visit a home but not live in it.
Yeah.
So that basically means that you have to be able to get in the door.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I know of lots of new houses that don't even have that.
Yeah.
You know, so there's no real enforcement of that. But I think the best, or the only way forward really is consultation.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, you know, speak to people that have lived experience of it.
Yeah.
That's the only way it's going to change, I think.
There was a good initiative not so long ago. I think it was down around Donegal Town. I'm not sure who was behind it. But councillors were, I think it was councillors, if I'm not mistaken, they were asked to get into the wheelchair and sort of meander around the town.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like the crossings that are dropped, but they still have an inch on them. You know what I mean? Try and get across that and get up that. So, or sandwich boards that are out for advertising or cracks in the pavement. And I sometimes think that's the way. We need to get planners and people that make decisions in a chair and see themselves, or with a cane, or whatever it might be, and see themselves the actual realities of getting around our towns and villages.
Yeah, because sometimes until it affects you, I guess, so, you know, people have mixed feelings about that sort of initiative as well, because they sort of say, well, maybe they should just listen to people who, you know, it's not really, you're not getting the full experience.
Mm.
That person can go around in the chair, but they can get up from it at any time, or they can, if they come across an obstacle, they can move it, you know.
Mm.
Whereas somebody who's a full-time wheelchair user don't have that option.
But
so,
it might
help
with the
insight. Also,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, as you were saying that you discovered, you know, I know somebody that had an accident last year and they had to use a wheelchair for a certain period of time and they really got their eyes opened.
Yeah. Can I imagine?
Yeah.
A caller says, and I think I've kind of been touching on that, a lot of roads and footpaths are not wheelchair accessible. I mean, is that something that you find?
Yeah, they're pretty bad surface-wise. I would always say, I see people in scooters now and, you know, they don't have helmets and things on. And I'd be very aware of surfaces from my chair and I think, God, you know, I know how bad our footpaths are.
You're risking it
it's
there, yeah.
It's really uncomfortable on a scooter.
A caller says, hi, listening to the show, I've been lobbying the council to provide a beach buggy for a beach in a show in this past 2 years. Informed it's supposed to arrive this week. We will see. Well, hopefully it is.
Oh, great.
Yeah, indeed. That would be another place for you to visit. Another caller says, I'm a PA for two young wheelchair users, and I'm shocked by the lack of facilities in the area. We had to make do with what we were given, which shouldn't be the case whatsoever. Wheelchair users should be involved in the process of the remodelling of accessible toilets. Their voices yeah. need to be heard. They need respect and dignity, which is really what you've been outlining to us, Catherine.
Yeah, I mean, look, everybody is entitled to safe and dignified, you know, facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is it's not. We don't have to convince the public. I don't think there's anyone listening that if you said to them, do you think we should have better and proper, respectful facilities for people with a disability or those who use a wheelchair, everyone would say, yes, of course we should do that. Do you know what I mean? So it's just the will and the planning and the drive that's required because the public support is there, clearly, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe, you know, it takes so long as well. Maybe cut a bit of the
red tape
bureaucracy around.
Yes,
yeah,
indeed. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the funding has been there for Changing Places, you know, for quite a while, but it's taken a long time to come on board. Yeah.
Just need to get
but
it
we'll
over
get
the
there.
Line. Okay. Well, listen.
Yeah.
As you say, you've got good people working on it. Hopefully, Catherine. Listen, lovely to chat.
Exactly.
To you.
Thanks, Greg.
All right. Take care of yourself. Thank you so very much indeed. Let's stay with public toilets. In public toilets in Rathmullen 2 weeks ago, the toilets were terrible, wet and smelly. I turned and left. New toilets in this shape, it is a disgrace. And we do get quite frequent calls about those toilets. I live in Carndonagh. I'm not aware of any toilets in Inishowen towns. That comes in from Raymond. Absolutely fantastic to hear about the traffic lights at the Polestar, says this listener. Hopefully, though, they bring in a system like they have in the UK and make it staggered. Okay, is that staggered in terms of how they work or whether they're on or off? It requires a good deal of thinking and planning to make sure they add to a solution and not a problem. Right, we had a lot of you get involved in the conversation about assisted dying. A caller says, on assisted dying, once it is established, it will be offered to a wider and wider range of clients in Canada. One of the first things offered to veterans who call the support line is assisted dying. One man spoke about a conversation with his doctor who brought up it three times in a conversation how expensive it was to treat him. Slippery slope issue, says a caller. Assisted suicide, euthanasia, assisted dying, as they are now calling it, they are choosing language to make it sound more acceptable. They say there will be safeguards, but once they get the door opened at all, they will soon have it as the done thing for convenience. The powers that be can't be trusted in what they say. We only have to look at the abortion situation today. They promised certain safeguards, conditions and restrictions. But now just 3 years in, the abortion figures have escalated beyond belief. And with a pro-abortion campaigner controlling the review, they are bulldozing ahead to have no restrictions at all to facilitate more and more. Well, it's not no restrictions at all. There are proposals that don't go as far as no restrictions at all, but I understand what you are saying. Right, is there another one on that issue? Yes, assisted... No, I've read that one. Okay. Thank you very much for those. Right, Donegal County Council is looking into the possibility of adding yellow boxes to a number of roundabouts in Letterkenny. Councillor Donal Kelly of Fianna Fáil joins us right now. Good morning, Donal. Beg your pardon? Oh, Donal. Sorry, Donal. I have to. Donal Kelly was written down, but it's, of course, Donal Coyle. My apologies. Right, okay.
Not at all.
You raised this
issue. Okay, Greg.
You raised this issue in relation to initially the Kiltoy roundabout.
That's correct, Greg. And good morning. At the Kiltoy roundabout, traffic coming from the Kiltoy down Lisnennan, coming down there, they can't access the roundabout when the traffic is backed up from Ballyrain right back up the Business Park Road because the cars are blocking the roundabout for those now to access the roundabout if they want to go up back up the Business Park Road or go into town by Gartley. So there's definitely need for a yellow box there.
And what were you told?
If it was deemed appropriate, there would be a yellow box put there. Now, you know, what's appropriate? Like, I mean, you know, look, the cars are lined away back up Kiltoy, trying to access that, especially at peak times. And you have exactly the same situation up at the top of the Business Park Road for cars coming on to the roundabout up at the top of the business park road.
That being said, though, there was a promise to look at this before, particularly that roundabout you mentioned. I think it was Councillor John O'Donnell proposed it. They did look at it and they said, yellow boxes aren't the way, it's not going to work. Do you think their attitudes might have changed since?
Well, I'd be hoping, because there's a great need for it. Like if you look at the yellow box that's out at the Polestar there, you know, that works. That works because, the law is that you're not meant to be sitting in a yellow box, and that people have a right of way there. And if you had the same at those two roundabouts, it certainly would relieve traffic, help people to get about their business a lot quicker,
Yeah, was there any discussion at all about what the plans are for the Polestar roundabout?
The lights are to be done now over the next couple of months, on that day, and I hope that'll relieve traffic, coming in and out of town.
How do you think three sets of lights on the pole on the four lanes will work?
A good question. Now we'll have to wait and see how it will work. I would have a bit of concern about the lights out at the Dry Arch, because you're very near to the roundabout there, and I suppose they're not, a pedestrian crossing there, at that day and the turn down the Bonagie Lane. Mm. I would say it'll take a while now for it to work, but I'd be hoping that the tailbacks, and that they will work well.
Yeah, because I expressed your concern right back at the planning stage. This is going back, years ago, because the way the traffic comes off that roundabout, people coming down the hill use the right-hand lane as a shortcut, really, to turn onto the four lanes, and they whip around the traffic there. And just as they get round, there could be someone standing on a zebra crossing there. I have the concerns I had at the planning stage still are there right now, because drivers use that roundabout in a crazy way. I hope there's no crashes there and no one's knocked over, but I have my concerns.
And I did make a suggestion back when there was discussions on the planning of that four lane, that there should be an overhead walkway, for people wanting to cross, say, from the Clanree Hotel to the other side. But it was ruled out for the simple reason that they said there wasn't enough of room to construct an overhead walkway there. But yeah. That would have been a solution to that.
Yeah. Okay, so they're going to look at the yellow boxes. Is this a council-controlled issue? Do they have to engage with the TII? What's the story?
Yeah, sure, of course it's a TII. Yeah, it's TII that'll make a decision, because that's a TII road. So, look, mind you, a lot of the time to try and get the TII to do things is the council try and do their best. For example, they're going to do a bit of work now on the dual carriageway from the Dry Arch out to Manor, because it's in a bad state. But I was asking yesterday about the N13, which is also going up from the roundabout at the Dry Arch to Drumkeen, and the surface on that road in many places is very, very bad. It's not even patched. And I asked about that, I had a motion on about that a month ago, and there's still nothing done with it, and you're coming off a very good surface now on the four lane, but right away when you come off the roundabout at the Dry Arch, you're hitting ruts and you're hitting holes on the road, which and that is the main artery coming from Sligo, Galway, the
coming into the
town.
It's the main road in. All right, thanks, Donald. Yeah. We'll see how things get on. My apologies for misnaming you, councillor. You could have. It could be worse. I could have called you something worse as you.
You could. Not at all. Okay,
all
Greg.
Right, bye, bye, councillor Donald Coyle. Right, we're opening our lines for our fantastic competition. Where we are giving away in association with Virgin Media and their new broadband service in Donegal, we're giving away a €100 one for all voucher. And we're bringing you on air, two of you. We're going to ask you simple questions, and it's just whomever answers those questions or that question quickest will win that voucher. We had a really tight one yesterday. 2.1 seconds and 2.5 seconds was the difference. And one person won, one person missed out. Well, they didn't miss out because they got a mug, which I think is a great prize. But anyway, if you want to come on air and answer the simple question, and speed is the key here, and win €100, WhatsApp or text us now, 086 60 25,000, your name, where you're from, and which number you want us to contact you on. And you could be around about 10:30, 10:45, you could be playing the great competition to win €100. I am excited. A caller says, yellow box, a total waste of time as no one abides to the rule. Just see what happens at the top of the Port Road. Crossview has traffic always stopped in the middle of it. Indeed, I didn't want to say it, but yeah, I get that. Hi, Greg. Tell Donal if the bridge he promised was in place, there would be no problem at any of the roundabouts. I think everyone's frustrated at the lack of progress there. And another saying nobody pays any attention to the yellow box at the Polestar roundabout or a lot of other roundabouts. It is kind of true. And I think that one on the Polestar roundabout is pretty faded as well anyway, isn't it? Right, our next guest with us in just a moment. A new study has found that more than half, 58% of digital news consumers in Ireland believe that publicly funded news services are quite or very important for society. However, they believe that it is more important for society than it is for themselves. That's according to the findings of the Digital News Report Ireland 2023, which will be published by Cumshon Amann this morning. Colleen Morrells, Professor of Journalism at Dublin City University. You've had eyes on this report, of course, Colleen. What do you take from it?
Well, actually, our main news that's, I suppose, different this year is that interest in news is down from a COVID high in 2021 of 70% to 52% this year. So it's come down another 5 percentage points from last year. But Ireland's still tracking well against the markets we compare ourselves to, like the UK, the US and Europe. Slightly more worrying is that young people only registered 28% interest in news, whereas back in 2016, this group registered 53% interest in news. So that is definitely down.
And the question I haven't really found answered as such, Colleen, even though I've read quite a bit on this and attended a few things, is it how the news is delivered? Like, I think a lot of people in media think they have to do it snappy in 30 seconds, or is it actually really just a disinterest in current affairs from young people, and no matter how you package it, they're not really going to consume it?
Well, there's less interest in news, but it is possibly the way that it's done. I mean, interestingly, one of our students today has got a piece up on News Exchange. So Liam Coates is a DCU student over in Washington. And he's talking about, and this is reflected in the report, that, you know, young people are interested in news from places like TikTok. Mm. So during the pandemic, they turned more to mainstream media. But right now, young people, so that's 18 to 24-year-olds, are getting most of their news from social media.
No, continue, please, Colleen.
Well, on social media, the places that they go to for news are TikTok, YouTube and Snapchat mainly. So they do go to places like Facebook, but actually the new results show that it's TikTok, YouTube and Snapchat, interestingly.
Yeah, it is interesting, and it's a little bit worrying perhaps in that particularly TikTok, but not exclusively, their algorithms are such that they will give you more of what you watch, which doesn't necessarily mean then that you get different points of view or different analysis, that you can find yourself very quickly, particularly on TikTok, as I say, but now Facebook and others are catching up. You can very quickly find yourself just in an echo chamber of what sort of appeals to you. You know what I mean? You don't get exposed to opposing voices or views or analysis.
Yeah, and that is reflected in the report, although it's reflected with a few contradictions. 64% of people in Ireland are worried about what is real or fake on the internet. However, most people are happy to see algorithms picking the stories that they see. So I think that's 31% as opposed to journalists picking the stories, which is 25%. Then again, a large number have also expressed fear about missing out on news. And if it becomes more personalized news, then they're worried that they won't see challenging viewpoints. So a lot of contradictions inside there, in the survey, in fact.
Where do you think journalism needs to go from here, then, do you think, to track these trends?
Well, I mean, the useful thing about this report is it's the ninth year that we've done it. You know, it's a longitudinal survey, so it does point towards where people are going. 2,035 people are surveyed across Ireland, with representative quotas for age, gender, etc. So it's a good way of tracking where people go. And, but interestingly, a couple of years out of the pandemic, it's some of the things have moved back to where they were before and some others haven't. So it's like we've had this really bad news and now there's a prolonged, cost of living crisis. There's a lingering war in Ukraine. There are all these things that, we'll probably see the results come out in the next couple of years. And in the meantime, young people are absolutely besieged by entertainment apps and all kinds of other things that are going to detract from them looking for news. They looked for news during the pandemic, but a couple of years out, it's kind of much more fractured.
Mm. And I think that the mainstream media, if we were to put it like that, too, are kind of struggling really to find their place. And it feels like, to some extent, we're in a race to the bottom. You know, it's quite easy to identify newspapers, national radio stations, for an example. It's quite easy to identify their political leanings or where they are on the political spectrum. I believe that's mainstream media panicking and shooting itself in its foot. What do you think?
Well, I mean, what our report shows is actually Ireland is one of the least polarised places.
Yeah, but I mean,
And politically very central.
Well, not, though, Colleen. News Talk's anti-government. Listen to The Breakfast Show. RTE's pro-government. Listen to how they interview ministers. The Irish Independent is anti-Sinn Féin. You know, I could go on and on and on. I mean, I would dispute that.
Actually talk about that. It's not in our report, I'm afraid.
Okay, no, I get you. But I think it's all part of the broader conversation about a trust of journalism. So who do you think will pick up this report, or who do you think should pick up this report and have a look through it?
Look, people do pick it up every year because it's got the latest information on how people... whether they watch news, read news, listen to news, what devices they use. You know, it's still television and online media across the whole of Ireland. For young people, it's obviously social media. So these things change, and they've definitely changed quite a lot in the last couple of years. How much of that is due to the pandemic or not, will become clearer. Not everything is obvious at once. But, there's plenty of information there about brands and how well they're doing, which brands are the most trusted, which brands online and offline are the most popular. We have data about podcasting. Ireland's still very into podcasting, down 2 points, but I think we rank second in the world for an interest in podcasting.
It's amazing, isn't it, how we've adopted a love for podcasts.
Yeah, but some of that podcasting, interestingly, is people are listening to podcasts from the UK and from America. Mm. So it's not all Ireland-based, the podcasting that's the most popular.
We live in interesting times, and I'm really excited as to where it all goes, to be honest with you, especially as AI comes in and, we could end up having services that are artificially generated just to appeal to a specific individual. Spotify have already dipped their toes in that. It's only a matter of time before news and other features are added to that sort of AI experience. So it's going to be interesting times ahead, Colleen.
Yep.
All right, thanks.
It certainly is with it. Yeah. AI.
Yeah, okay. Listen, lovely to speak to you. Thanks so much for your time. I greatly appreciate it. Take care of yourself. That's Colleen Morrill, who is a professor of journalism at DCU. That's Dublin City University. 086 60 25000. WhatsApps and texts to that number, or give us a call on 074 91 25000. It is the 9 till noon show, and we'll be back with more on the programme after the news and obituary notices. Stay right where you are.